Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the distinction between sin and righteousness. So let's read 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, again together. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, you and I live in a day when the issue of sin has become very confusing to most people. Just what is and is not a sin, just what constitutes sinful behavior, used to be crystal clear to the people of God, and especially to the leaders of the church. But two major things have worked together to create and sustain this confusion about sin. The advent of television, which makes sin look attractive, and the replacement of biblical morality with an American morality, which condones and even promotes certain behavior, which Scripture condemns. The reason that television and the internet and movie producers have more impact over our minds and hearts today than the Word of God does is because the Bible, the study and teaching and learning of God's Word, has fallen out of fashion with many in the modern church. You see, in order to attract the large crowds, many churches have bowed to the reality that the Bible bores most people, and this is why prayer meetings and Bible studies are the least attended services of the modern church. Today, motorcycle riding clubs, pottery classes, have replaced line upon line and precept upon precept studies of Scripture. So-called Christian comedians have replaced God's people weeping between the porch and the altar. The result of the church adopting an entertainment model of church rather than a worship model is that today people honestly do not know what sin is. We must remember, beloved, that having our ears tickled is no substitute for having our hearts convicted, and laughing at foolish jokes will not cause us to hate sin. According to the Barna Research Group, 85% of all young people who are raised in church abandon their faith by the time they go to college. Now, Christian parents sending their children to secular universities has always caused problems, but that number has never been this high. And that number didn't get that high by accident. Unless God's Word is being taught and preached and explained and learned and loved and obeyed, sin remains a mystery. Let's read again verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. John tells us here that sin is defined as being lawless. So sin is a violation of God's law. Sin is a transgression of or an insult to the law of God. So what is the law of God? The law of God are those absolute truths which reflect the very character and nature of God and which are clearly spelled out for us in Scripture. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say so that you can get this, because this is very important. You need to know this if you're ever going to have a biblical understanding of sin. Sin is wrong. We all agree with that. But why is sin wrong? Many teach today that sin is wrong because of what sin does to us. And that is true to a point, because sin absolutely does affect us in a negative way. but that is not what makes sin to be wrong. But sin does do a lot to us. Sin creates an emptiness in our hearts. Sin costs us a lot of money. Sin ruins marriages and homes and hearts and lives. Sin takes you where you never thought you would ever go. Sin causes you to do things you never dreamed you would ever do. And sin keeps you there a lot longer than you were willing to stay. Sin is very cruel. It is heartless. It is mean and deadly. Sin makes murderers out of tender little boys, makes prostitutes out of sweet little girls. Sin robs children of their parents and robs parents of their children. Sin keeps mothers and fathers up all night worrying about their sinful children. Sin causes people to lie so often about so much that they don't even remember what the truth is anymore. Sin is really, really awful, and we need to learn how to hate sin, how to be revolted at it. We must never get so caught up in music or television or movies where we can sit and laugh at sin, because sin is not funny, dear friends. But even though all of that is true, none of that is what makes sin to be wrong. Sin is wrong because sin offends God, period. Sin insults the holiness and the righteousness of an infinitely glorious God. Sin mocks God. Sin belittles God's glory. Sin challenges God. Sin rebels God against God to His face. Sin shakes His angry fist at God, daring God to respond. And so God is good to judge sin. God is faithful to always have the same response to every sin. He hates it, He condemns it, and He judges it. I have met people who thought they had a special deal worked out with God where they could go to church on Sunday and in return, God would allow them to live like hell all week long. Let me be the first to remind you that no one has that kind of an arrangement with God, beloved. God is omniscient in that He knows everything. He knows what you do and He knows what you say and what you think. God is omnipresent in that He is all over the world at the same time, so there is no place for us to hide. And God is omnipotent in that He's big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to hold you accountable for your sin. Every human being who is alive today or who will ever be alive or who has ever lived will stand before a holy and righteous God to give an account of their lives, what they did and what they said, and the thoughts and intents of their hearts. And so any variation, any transgression, any rebellion, any disobedience to any of God's law, even one time, is sin. And that includes unseen things like our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. And this truth is universal to every single human being on earth, and it has the very same effect, to make all men guilty before God as transgressors of the law or as sinners. Now, why in the world would a loving God want everybody to be guilty? So that we all may know that we are lost, so that we may repent and be saved. This makes everybody from every nation and every language and every culture to be equal, because we are all sinners. And because we are all sinners, we are all unrighteous. So the simple way to think about sin and the effect that sin has upon the entire human race is this: God is righteous and we are not. Rich men may be rich, but rich men are also sinners and transgressors of the law. And so in God's eyes, a rich man is no more righteous than a poor man. His wealth did not change his status with God as a sinner. The lesson to be learned here is that you can do a lot of wonderful things with money, but you cannot buy your way out of sin. Now, education is also a wonderful gift of God, but educated people are sinners as well. And the lesson here is that you cannot educate yourself out of sin. You cannot move your way out of sin, so location is not the problem. You cannot speak your way out of sin. You cannot sing your way out of sin. You cannot praise your way out of sin. You cannot wish your way out of sin. The only way to get out of sin is to repent your way out. Popular people are just as sinful as unpopular people. Women are just as sinful as men. Young people are just as sinful as old people. Black people are just as sinful as white people. Jews are just as sinful as Gentiles. So as far as righteousness goes, all human beings are the same. God is righteous, and we are not. So the problem with human beings is not a lack of wealth, or a lack of possessions, or a lack of fame, or popularity, or knowledge, or a lack of family connections, or political connections. The problem with us is a lack of righteousness. And the reason that a lack of righteousness is a problem is because nobody can go to heaven unless they are perfectly righteous and continuously righteous. Look, every single human being on the earth can go to heaven as long as they are perfectly righteous and as long as they are continually righteous in thought, word, and deed, 24 hours every day and 7 days every week, or unless the spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to them by the agency of faith alone. Now, here is something that you may not have thought of before. It is better to do good than to not do good. It is better to try than it is not to try. It is better to strive than it is to just sit there. You see, there is a righteousness that we have as human beings, a type of goodness that we all have that is wonderful. So every time that we do something good, we add a certain degree of righteousness to ourselves. Every time we are honest or noble or good in the human sense of goodness, we develop and we add to our own personal human righteousness. You see, the Bible teaches very clearly that human beings do in fact have a righteousness. So the problem is not that we don't have any righteousness. The problem is that our righteousness does not rise to the level of being perfect and continuous. We do possess a goodness, but our goodness is not good enough to qualify us for heaven. When we can do something that is noble, we should. When we can do something that is kind, we should. When we have an opportunity to do something honorable, we should. If we can do something righteous, we should. But we must understand that even while we are doing something that is righteous, we are still not becoming righteous ourselves. And that is true because we still sin. For example, while we're working real hard to be noble in a particular situation, we are still coveting something else in our hearts. While we're acting out of humility over here, we're still acting out of lust over there. While we are performing goodness in this particular situation, we are performing wickedness in another situation. So the net result of all of our goodness and all of our righteousness is that even when we do good and righteous things, we are at that very moment still guilty of sinning in other ways. Thus, we cannot lay any personal claim to being perfectly and continuously righteous. Now, 600 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah talked about this in Isaiah 64, verses 6 and 7. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf. Our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name, who arouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquities. Now God spoke through Isaiah to tell us that even when we do good, even when we do noble and kind things, because sin is so pervasive in our lives, our personal human righteousness has only risen to the level of being a filthy rag. Certainly not what God requires to go to heaven. So what John is teaching here is that we must have a clear and biblical understanding about sin so that we may see how great a gift salvation really is. We must believe that we are all sinners and that no matter how hard we try, no matter how long we work at it, our personal human righteousness is never going to rise to the level that God requires for heaven so that we may marvel at God's grace, which caught our falling soul and rescued us from the flames of hell. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.